Issues Etc. 24, Hour 8, starts now.
Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done, and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking to Pastor George Borghardt during Issues Etc. 24 about justification. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. We're going into hour eight of Issues Etc. 24. George, let's talk a little bit about Galatians, because you said when we pointed at the passages that we need to know in order to understand justification, first to Romans and then to Galatians. And Paul takes a different tone with the Galatian church, because apparently they have started to get justification wrong over something that sounds as innocuous as whether or not someone ought to be circumcised or keep the Old Testament law. What's happening there?
Well, it's anything which deflects from Christ. It's anything which Jesus plus anything. So in Galatia, it was, you're a great Christian. You're a great Jew. This business of loving Jesus is spectacular. That he died for you, Todd, that's great. Super duper. You get a thumbs up. But what you really need to be a real Christian is to get circumcised. Then you're a two thumbs up Christian. Now what we do here is, now that could sound familiar. You loving Jesus is great, all right? But have you given him your heart? You love Jesus, and it's great, but have you made him the Lord of your life? You love Jesus, and that's just spectacular. But are you born again? Or have you spoken in tongues? What's the thing that is on top of it which makes you really a Christian? And that's the Galatians problem. Christ gave himself for our sins, deliver us from the present evil according to the will of the Father. Him be glory forever. But I'm astonished, verse 6 of chapter 1, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in grace, in the free gift, in the forgiveness of sins, in the Jesus-onlyness of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Remember when I said with that Rick Warren quote that it not only stank, but it was a different gospel? That was Galatians. There's someone who troubles you and wants to distort the gospel of Christ. And I love this. Even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one I preached to you, let it be anathema. That's where I got the word anathema, which we had from the Illinois caller. As I said before, if anyone was to preach to you, if George Borghardt was to preach a gospel different from the one that Paul preached, if Todd Wilkin were to preach a gospel different than salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That's it. There's only one gospel. There's only one way that sinners are justified before God. It's not by Jesus plus something else. And you can fill in the something else. Works, believing enough, loving others enough, losing a little bit of weight, being positive, if it's Osteen, Rome, it's being part of the Roman Church. What is the thing which you're going to add to Jesus in order to make yourself stand before God? That's the thing which God will knock down, or which Paul starts to knock down, because anything plus Jesus means Jesus is nothing. It's either the cross alone, or it's not. If it's not Jesus, and if something else is what all that matters. So really, it's not really that you love Jesus. It's that you made a decision for him. It's not really that Christ died for you. It's that you make the decision for him. It's not really that Christ died for you. It's that you're circumcised. It's not really that Christ died for you. It's that you speak in tongues. It's not really that Christ died for you, but that you made him the Lord of your life, whatever that means, or you've given him your heart. So, yet we know, 2:16, that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. So we also believe that Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified, no one be forgiven, no one be righteous before God. So it's either Jesus, that is, justification by grace, received by faith, or it's something else. And if it's something else, anathema. It's that simple. It's really that simple. So I hate to sound sort of closed-minded, but Jesus is closed-minded. I either save you or, it's either I did it all for you and it comes to you as a gift, or else you're on your own. How's that feel?
Is that what, because Paul makes it sound with the Galatians like this isn't just some minor error a Christian might entertain or a casual mistake they might make. He says there in the 21st verse of Galatians 2, he says, I do not nullify the grace of God, which is what you're talking about there. For if justification were through the law, and it sounds like you're saying anything,
yes,
any doing of yours, he goes,
yes,
then Christ died for no purpose. You nullified the death of Jesus, the
Correct.
Son of God, by doing this.
Correct. And later on this subject, he says, look, those people who are troubling you about circumcision, I wish that they would cut the whole thing off, because Christ is lost in this. It's either Jesus or it's not. And if it's not, then we're lost. So all of these different things we're talking about rob us of our Savior. They rob us of faith. The thing we first talked about, Christ being glorified and comfort for troubled consciences. That's uniquely Lutheran, or we should say Christian in this case. When you add something to Jesus, your conscience is burdened. Oh, have I spoken in tongues? Have I given my life to Jesus? Do I believe enough? Am I saved or not saved? Am I really born again? You pick the thing. Whatever you add to Jesus troubles your conscience, because that's the wobble point. The law point is the point in which wobbles, and it's the wheel in the car which wobbles. I was driving home from church one night, and I was like, man, my car's acting weird. And I pulled over and I had a flat tire. The whole car was pulling one way because the tire was flat. Whatever tire is flat, and that's you, that's going to cause the whole thing to be mucked up. So it's either Jesus alone or it's you. There's no both. There's no both. Not with Paul. Both is anathema. Both is Christ died in vain. Both is Christ robbed of his glory, and both is you and I left to our works and therefore our troubled consciences.
Now, we've talked about it several times here, and I want you to speak to this. As the central teaching, or as Luther liked to put it, the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls, and I imagine that a lot of Christians who hear words like that say, look, I know it's important, but is it really all important? How can it be kind of that hinge point of all Christian doctrine? Talk about that as it being as the central teaching of
right.
Christianity.
Right. You know, Warren's going to be my new whipping boy for a bit. When you listen to the quote that we started our 2 hours with faith isn't enough. Faith and love. That is an idea of justification as if you are in faith, as if you walked into a library and one book in the library was justification, and next to that book was real Christian living, and next to that book was love for your neighbor, and next to that book was, well, pick a topic, Todd, sacraments. Next to that book was predestination. Next to that book was free will. You know what I mean? A bunch of books on a bookshelf. This analogy has been used tons of times. As if only one book is justification. If you take that book out and you can set it, you can throw it out, and everything still stands. The library is still full. Justification for the Christian church is the article which runs through all those books. If you pull on that book and it's connected to all the other books, if you were to erase just if you could like it with a computer program erase justification from our teaching, everything falls apart. It's because to erase justification is to erase Jesus alone, and we're left on our works. So Lutherans understand every article of doctrine through justification. They don't look at any doctrine apart from Jesus alone. Notice those two mean the same to me. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone saves me on the cross are the same thing. Oh, by the way, justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and the proper distinction between law and gospel for Luther are the same thing, because this is the article in which everything stands upon. So we get baptism wrong if we pull out justification. We get Lord's Supper wrong if we pull out justification. We get worship wrong if we pull out justification. We get the predestination wrong if we pull out justification. What do the Calvinists do? They start not with justification for predestination. They start with the sovereignty of God. Ooh, scary. God being all-powerful. That's not the place to start. But if you start with Christ's death on the cross, well, then you have predestination, not as something that is scary, but as something that, oh, thank God, before the creation of the world, Christ died for me. Before anything else, he marked me as his own. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm in or out because Jesus died and rose for me.
Is it a two-way street there? You were talking about how, you know, using the analogy that if you mess up justification, well, it's not an analogy, that if you mess up justification, it's going to infect that error, so to speak, that misdirected way of thinking about justification is going to infect every other doctrine to one degree or another. Does it work the other way around, George? That if someone holds to an unbiblical view of, say, baptism, that puts the emphasis on baptism as my work or baptism is something I do to symbolize my commitment to God, will that necessarily affect, even in a small way, what they believe about their justification?
Sure. Little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Little us, little law, mucks up your Jesus, messes up your gospel, always. And so what we need to see is, well, whether this doctrine that we're confessing is glorifying Jesus, that is, it's Jesus alone, or it's glorifying us. See, when Lutherans say baptism saves, the evangelicals immediately go, oh, I thought Jesus saved. And we sort of look at them like, huh? Because to say baptism saves means that Jesus saves me on the cross and delivers that to me in the waters of my baptism. It's not a commitment that I do for God. It's not a work that I do for God. It receives Jesus, and therefore it's a pledge of a clear conscience before God. I can stand in my baptism. See, when Jesus is removed, it becomes something I do. So we're going to run every doctrine through Jesus alone, that is justification, or my sins are forgiven, or Christ died for me. How do you want to put it? We're going to run every doctrine through that. And that'll be how we know for certain that our doctrines are solid and sure. And here's the thing. How do we know that we're supposed to do that, that this is not some overarching idea that runs our whole theology that's wrong? We know that we should be running everything through Jesus and him crucified because that's what he says, sola scriptura. You search the scriptures. Look, he tells the Pharisees, you go through those scriptures, you're looking at in them, you'd find life. But these are the things which testify of me. John says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing have life in his name. See, we run everything through the article of justification because the scriptures do. You pull Jesus out of the scriptures, they don't make any sense whatsoever. But Jesus Christ and him crucified as the center of Scripture, well, then everything makes sense. From Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel to Abraham to Jacob and Esau, all of it makes sense. To David, King David, all of it makes sense if you're looking to Jesus. If you're looking for some guidebook in your life or some law that you can do, well, it doesn't make any sense at all. Wisdom is known by her children. When Jesus is the center of our theology, I'm sorry, Jesus is the center of our theology because Jesus is the center of the Scriptures. And not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified for me. Because faith is not some knowledge. Back into the confessions again. It's not some knowledge or head thing I got going on. And nor is it a heart thing that I feel in my thing. And it's not a doing thing, which I do. Faith receives Christ and Him crucified, and even somebody like me is saved.
Now, I want you to explain that a little bit more, because that brings us right to kind of the through faith alone part of the justification formula. And this is counterintuitive to us, George, because we tend to think about faith as something we do. And you've said it already here a couple times. Faith is not something we do. If it isn't something we do, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Believing is receiving. I mean, that's hallmark Lutheran. Believing is receiving Jesus. It's passive in that it receives the promise of the gospel. It's active in that it's lived out in love for the neighbor. But it's passive in that Jesus does it all and it comes to me as a gift. The gift is even placed into my hands. And so we're thinking that faith is something that's got, I got a feeling inside of me. I've got something that I can see that I do, or something that I think. An intellectual assent, when really, faith is the water that washes down the child's forehead. Faith is the amen after you hear that your sins are forgiven. Faith is born of the Word. It flows from the Word. It lives from the Word. Faith is the body and blood placed upon your mouth, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Faith lays hold of the promise. Because it's born of the promise. And so you don't have faith apart from Jesus. Faith is not of you. Faith doesn't go on about you. Faith doesn't talk about, look how much faith I got. You. Faith has nothing to do, nothing to talk about, nothing to live from other than the cross of Christ. And so if faith suddenly sounds weird when in the last hour, it's because Lutherans understand faith as nothing more than receiving gifts from God. That's faith.
Now, there's another nuance here that I want to explore, and that is, and this is again goes to kind of the classic differences between Lutheran and Roman theology on justification, but also the present-day differences that exist both there and with American evangelicalism. And this is where the Lutheran reformers are pretty adamant. They say that this word, this biblical word, to justify, that is to declare righteous, does not mean to make righteous. It means to declare righteous. Why are they so keen on making that distinction?
Because it's more of a gift if it's to declare righteous. Because they don't want you looking inside yourself. We're going to twist this whole thing to be about us. We're gonna make this thing all about us. We're gonna make it so that I'm better than I used to be. You can see. Look at me. I'm better. I've got faith. When the proclamation is an outside of me proclamation that God calls the sinner forgiven. Well, then, that is as certain as, well, the word that proclaims the sinner forgiven and not dependent upon me and my works.
How do I get this justification?
It's received when we believe the promise of the gospel. So Christ died for me. Well, amen. It comes from outside of me, received by faith. So we have our conscience quelled, at peace when we receive that forgiveness. So I'm looking for another quote in the Confessions again. It puts my my phone right by my ear. But that forgiveness of Christ is received by faith. So when faith lays hold of that promise, when Jesus died, and that's for me, for me too. Well, that's how I receive that, and that's righteousness. My righteousness before God is the faith of Jesus, not of any merit or worthiness in me. It's not something that I do, but it's something that Christ did for me.
Here's another famous one that I want you to explain, and this is, I mean, the Latin for it is basically says faith does not admit any degrees. Justification does not admit any degrees. Justification has no degrees. You are either justified,
yeah, right,
or you're not. Why is that important? Because I mean, we always want to nuance these things, especially you're justified. I'm a little less, or maybe I'm a little more. Why is there none of that stuff? No degrees in justification.
The Lord doesn't do parts; He does alls. you're not Achilles. I can't believe it. I just had my degree from LSU has actually just been used. Remember, Achilles was immortal. All of him dipped, except for his ankle, his Achilles. So Paris shoots him in his Achilles, his ankle, and he falls. All of us is not dipped in holiness, but a certain part of us. All of us is declared. God doesn't do that. God declares all of us righteous. Every part of me is declared righteous by Christ. Every part of me is washed clean. Remember the Maundy Thursday gospel lesson. He starts to wash their feet, and Peter, he comes to Peter, "You'll never wash my feet." And like, well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. And what does Peter say? Well, not just my feet, but my head and my hands as well. See, I've not just stepped in something, I've also thought something, and I've done something with my hands. Now, when you're clean, all of you is clean. All you have to have some of your sins forgiven, the stuff that you step in from time to time, and that's a word of forgiveness. And it declares all of you clean again. When you totally redundantness of the gospel is that you go to church and you're totally absolved. And then you hear the word of forgiveness, and you're totally forgiven. And then you hear the gospel in the sermon, and you're totally forgiven. And you receive the body and blood of Jesus, and you're totally forgiven. Well, that seems like a lot of forgiveness on top of it. Certainly redundant. The mathematics doesn't add up. We wasted forgiveness. No, that's the way Jesus is. His cup runneth over with forgiveness, so that it splashes all over us, and bloody in it, blood everywhere, and we're all covered with white robes dipped in blood, so that we stand before God completely and totally righteous. So we don't look and go, well, my spirit's holy, but my flesh is not. Or my spirit's justified, but my flesh is icky still. No, He forgives the whole of you, and the whole of you is justified.
Andrew listens in Canada. He writes this: the Roman Catholic position on faith looks at faith as an act or habit of the intellect that conforms to the Word of God, and then they seem to apply it to justification. But we see faith as a passive organism that receives the favor of God. I really like how Paul presupposes that faith is passive when he says that since it is by faith, then is according to grace and a guarantee to all Abraham's offspring. Here he's quoting Romans 4:16, and by offspring of Abraham, Paul is speaking about the offspring by faith. Paul concludes, he says, he demonstrates there that we don't separate faith from justification. We see that if we do this, we turn faith into our own virtue or power. And that's Andrew listening in Canada. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's brilliant. That's the very problem that warned us at the very beginning of the, hour seven? It's, time flies when you're having fun. So I think that's great. It lays it out perfectly. We would turn, not just the Roman Catholics would, but we would turn faith into a stuff that we do. When the scriptures speak of faith as the passive receiving of his gifts, the gifts of Calvary. Good stuff, good stuff. Very, very good stuff. I like that. See, we're always going to try to save ourselves, because that's what we do. That's the world that we live in. That's the prison that we like. That's the slavery that we are in, of trying to save ourselves. See, everybody thinks the old man, or old man in us, who needs to be drowned by daily contrition and repentance, is this nasty, ugly, filthy, as gross as this hotel room, thing, which is so dirty. But I would dare say that the old man is super-duper religious. The old man is ready to offer up his works before God. The new man has only Jesus. There we're going to have a justification moment in the Gospels when the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep don't know their works. When were we? Remember, sheep and the goats. Goats on the right. I'm sorry. Goats on the left, on the law side. Sheep on the right. He looks at the sheep and he says, "Blessed are you. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was thirsty, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. Come and come receive the inheritance given prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And they go, "Huh? What? What are you talking about?" That the only thing that they have is the Lord's word. That's faith. Okay, if you say, "Jesus, that I did those things, so be it. When you did it for the least of these, you did it for me." Now the goats, on the other hand, oh gosh, they have tons of works. When didn't we do this? We're the Lions Club people of the year. We come the hungry. We take care of the hungry. We took care of the thirsty. We took care of you when you were in prison. We didn't miss a single one. Oh, you miss one, and so you missed me. See, you're always going to miss one in the law. There's always going to be a part that's not done. In the gospel, though, oh, in the gospel, there's only the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. There's only Jesus. And so there's nothing missed and nothing lost and nothing left undone. I want to take on something here real quick, if you've got a moment.
Yeah.
All right. What we have here is something that really, really bothers me, that we do all the time, which is to suddenly... because what I've said is so free, to lessen it because someone might despise it. You know what I'm talking about, Todd?
Well, I think I do, yeah.
People will take this gospel and live like pigs. They'll live like you? Well, no. They'll live badly. You know, they'll just despise this gospel. They'll make the grace cheap. And so what we do is then we'll pull back, and so our answer is to pull back on the gospel. We'll not make it so sweet. We'll give them more law. Romans 6. I think it's Romans 6. If it's not, it's Romans 6. What shall we say? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? So having heard all this justification stuff, shall we sin more so we get more forgiveness? And the answer is megiddo, which means I'm trying to translate it in a way that's church appropriate. Heck no! How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Remember, I said that law was going to come in and just wipe us out and do us in, kill us. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? And the answer is not more law. The people aren't living right, Pastor. They're despising your gifts. They just act like their baptism saves you, and they saves them, and they don't do anything. Really? Are you certain they don't do anything? You need to give them more law. No, I think I need to give you more law. How dare you look at your neighbor like that? No, having begun by the Spirit, we are not perfected by the flesh. That was that Rick Warren thing. It starts with faith, but then it gets to love. You see, that second table stuff, which is good stuff. No, the answer is more Jesus. We were therefore buried with him into baptism, into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. So the answer is more Jesus. It's not less Jesus. It's not to sprinkle law into the gospel to make it less sweet. No, it's to die to your sins so that you might hear more Jesus. True faith, Jesus' faith, produces good works. Now, what kind of good works? Well, ones that our Father who is in heaven sees. See, he knows what's done in secret. He doesn't chart or graph or have sanctification checks to see, well, are you using naughty words or not? Are you a better Christian than you used to be? No. See, your Father who sees what's done in secret, he knows that faith produces good works. It because we were alive. We're set free. We're free. And free people, there's no end to the good works they can do because they're alive finally, no longer dead in their trespasses and sins. The idea that we can please God with anything other than faith. Faith only pleases God. So everything done in faith is good works. You can't have enough good works. Pastor, I don't know what good works I'm doing. It's okay. Jesus does. Remember when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. I don't remember doing that. I do. I remember you doing that. And that's all that matters. See, we're not going to lessen this gospel because someone thinks that we might despise it or we might not live equal to the task of it. It's the doctrine which is most important. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saves. Everything else is just going to fall apart at the seams. And so Christ is the center of our justification. Christ is the center of our sanctification, our being made holy through love. But we're not going to suddenly eject the order or article of justification so that we can get our sanctification on. No. Justification and sanctification go together. Because Jesus is the center of both. We don't get done with justification and then let's get on to what is really good stuff, which is works. No. Faith produces good works. Like a good tree produces what kind of fruit? Good fruit. So, anyway. Sorry, the idea that we got to pull back on the gospel because some people despise it. That creates a different gospel, which isn't really a gospel at all. It's anathema.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll have another half hour with him on this Friday evening. We're in Hour 8 of Issues, Etc. 24, talking about justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things. Call the number 1-877-623-6943.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Jim in Pasco, Washington. Why do I listen to Issues, Etc.? All the local evangelical stations preach the same gospel. Now that you're saved, deal with it. Our Catholic station, while better grounded in reason, gives me the same message. Issues, Etc. puts postmodern life into a historical reformational perspective. And with my high school and college-age kids being challenged by this every day, I can use all the help I can get to encourage your faith in Jesus Christ. Thanks, Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. has reconnected me with the church fathers and with saints throughout the ages in a way that frankly, most evangelical churches have not.
That's why we call it Historic Authentic Christian Radio, Issues, Etc. I'm the producer of Issues, Etc., Jeff Schwartz, alongside my colleague here at Lutheran Public Radio, Craig Feichninger. Craig, we've got some people to thank here during Issues Etc. 24.
Absolutely. Let's thank John in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. He's a new member of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. And with the Reformation Club, there are four levels of giving. And if you'd like to know more about those, they're the confessor, apologist, reformer, and patron. Each one of those levels is a step up in a gift and a step up also in premium. So call me here at 877-623-MY-IE, or for you podcast listeners, 618-223-8385, or shoot me an email, craig@issuesetc.org, and I'd be happy to explain the different levels, either on the phone this evening, on the phone at your convenience, or in an email about the Reformation Club. I'll explain the benefits, the levels, the donation amount, and all the particulars. And I'd love for you to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
It's a small group of faithful supporters who's pledged to give monthly or annually to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Some of the premiums include items like books, broadcast transcripts, advertising for your congregation, and the much coveted I Have Issues t-shirt. We really appreciate Issues Etc. Reformation Club members, and just go to our homepage at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Also thanks to Jesse in Woodburn, Indiana, and Kurt in Norman, Oklahoma, for your donations, and thanks for listening as well. And remember, during Issues Etc. 24, it doesn't matter how much you donate, we're going to send you, as a way of saying thanks, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services. It's two CDs featuring four settings of the Divine Service and 26 new hymns. Call and pledge now, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, 877-623-MY-IE, or issuesetc.org.
God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with you forever.
The fifth stanza of the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. Another half hour with Pastor George Borghardt talking about justification on this Friday evening. It is the 2nd of November, and this is Issues Etc. 24. After that next half hour, Pastor Bill Swirl is going to join us. We'll talk about law and gospel. Then a little bit later, actually 2 hours later after that, New Obedience and Good Works. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us. That'll get us from 1 to 3 a.m. We'll talk the office of the ministry, the church, baptism, the Lord's Supper, confession, absolution, and Christ's return in judgment. A long way to go here on Issues Etc. 24. What kind of questions or comments do you have about the doctrine of justification? We're happy to take your phone call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page. We have space there for you to leave a question or comment for Pastor Borghardt, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. George, this one comes from Brian in Flint, Michigan. He says, can you explain the differences, if there are any, to the facets of justification, redemption, and atonement? Are these words synonyms, or is there more nuance in their degrees of separation?
What is unique in each of them is where the gospel is, what is proprium in each of them. You're going to have to list them for me because, once again, one at a time.
Well, he started with justification, but then he said redemption.
Redemption is centered upon Christ buying us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. So that's to speak of justification in the Jesus bought me back from my sins. The third one was
atonement.
Atonement. That is to speak of justification in the sense of Christ paid for my sins by his death. He's the sacrifice which makes me righteous before God. And the last one?
I think that was it. It sounds like...
like vicarious atonement. I mean, all of these, and we're not going to lump them all together, but all of these are different ways in which the Scriptures speak of the gospel, which is Christ's death answers for my sins. Propitiation, he answers for the wrath of God. Like a sweet swap, he bears our sin, he becomes our sin, we get his righteousness, and we are his righteousness. I mean, these are all different ways in which the Scriptures, different imageries, different, and you find the gospel in what each term uniquely delivers. And so I think we hit them all, but good stuff. We sort of understand that justification runs through all of those, but rejoice in each individual gift, because then you got the gospel of what the writer was trying to deliver to you.
Now, you spoke before the break rather forcefully about attempts to pull back on the gospel because it might be abused, it might be viewed as a license to sin, and so we kind of sour the sweetness of the gospel by sprinkling in the law. It occurs to me that what's also going on there, George, is that it is unnaturally pitting justification against sanctification. Like, well, if you have too much of one, you're not going to have enough of the other kind of a thing.
Yeah, like Christ doesn't run through both. Christ is my justification before God. He's my sanctification before God. Period. The end. All right? My sanctification before God is not something which... somebody is going to chart on graph by how many naughty words I use. All right? No, my sanctification before God is Jesus, period, the end. If I have flare-ups of sin, well, then we'll drown them and I'll die in all my sinfulness. And a new man will rise before God to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. But we will not lose justification for the sake of my unholy life. And that's where I got the giggles in the first hour when I said Jesus has more justification than my sanctification. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was directly because of this. My sanctification is not my sanctification. It's Jesus' work in sanctification in me, for me, around me, for others. It's not pitted against justification, because that would be to pit Jesus against himself. He's the center of my justification. He's my center of my sin. So I never have to sanctification. So I never have to go, oh my goodness, am I good enough of a Christian? The answer to that is, well, is Jesus good enough for you? Well, yeah, of course he is. Well, then you're forgiven. Do I believe enough for Jesus to save me? Well, does Jesus believe enough for me? Well, or did Jesus die for me? Well, yes, he did. Oh, well, good, 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 good. Well, then I've got enough salvation. I've got enough Jesus. I've got enough forgiveness. I've got enough sanctification. There's always more Jesus and always more forgiveness and therefore always more holiness and always more, therefore, sanctification and justification. They go together. They're not to be pulled apart. Ew. Nasty. Sorry. It just gets me. We're going to lose justification because somebody sinned. That does not devoid justification of its sweetness. Or, I'm sorry, salvation by Jesus alone. It only means all the more certain that that the only hope that you and I have is Jesus. That's all that means. If I'm found to be a sinner, that means that only Christ can save me. Oh, thank God. I was worried that I had to save myself. Whew.
Here is a question from a listener in Southern California. They write, I have a question regarding the definition of justification and sanctification. To my understanding, if you believe you are sanctified and will do works to become justified, however, isn't the premise of Lutheran theology, saved by grace alone, not works? How do the two concepts combine? I guess he's asking about the relationship, the right relationship between justification and sanctification.
Faith brings the Holy Spirit and produces a new life in hearts. Apology 4. It must produce spiritual movements in our hearts. It does. It just simply does. These things cannot happen until we have been justified through faith and regenerated. We receive the Holy Spirit first, because the law cannot be kept without Christ. Likewise, the law cannot be kept without the Holy Spirit. The law always accuses. It always shows God as angry. Only by faith, only the Holy Spirit produces a new life in our hearts. It must also produce good works. So we're not saying that faith and good works, that good works are damaging to faith. What we're saying is faith produces good works. That's what it does. That's it. Article 5 in the Augustana is followed by Article 6. 4 and 5 happens, and 6. Good works flow. So we're saved. So sanctification is simply the living out of justification, the living out that you're forgiven. It's living that forgiveness, not for yourself, but for others. Other people could use the forgiveness that Jesus splashed on you.
Okay, then, and I think you've made this point here several times, that, and someone's going to say, well, it sounds like what you're saying, George, is that forgiveness of sins is justification. And if you have forgiveness of sins, then you have everything justification is.
That is what our Lutheran confessions say. Somebody else was driving today, so I got to read Apology 4, which everybody should read once in a while. I got so excited. I was highlighting everything in purple and gold. I'm not really certain why, but that was two colors that I picked to highlight stuff. But our Lutheran confessions say to be justified is simply to be forgiven. So that's justification and forgiveness. That's the one and the same. So justification is by grace because forgiveness is by grace. We are reconciled to the Father and receive the forgiveness of sins by faith alone, because it's all in a gift alone. Again, I'm putting my mouth next to this really nasty phone in order to find that quote. So I'll find it. To receive the forgiveness of sins is to be justified. Apology 4:76. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. By faith alone, not through love, not because of love or works, we receive the forgiveness of sins, although love follows faith. Therefore, by faith alone are we justified. We understand justification as the making of a righteous person out of an unrighteous person, or that a person is regenerated. It's highlighted in purple in mine, because that's the color I chose to today.
Now, just a bit of a history lesson here, if you would. After the Lutheran Reformation got underway, and these things had been laid out, and I think everybody that had any kind of skin in the game understood that the central teaching here that was going to be the state of controversy, it was justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. The Roman Catholics said, look, we've got an answer for this. They had actually an entire council that lasts several decades.
Correct.
And in the end, they fairly well rejected almost all of it. And I got to ask, why were they so adamant to reject not only what Scripture clearly teaches, but to reject these sheer ideas that we've been talking about here, that you're either justified or you're not. There are no degrees. That forgiveness of sins itself is justification. That grace is either grace or it is not grace at all and you're under God's wrath. That it's either Jesus alone or it's all your works. Why were they so adamant to reject what we call the solas of the Reformation with regard to justification?
Why? I think the whole medieval system falls apart. The guilt is a wonderful motivator to do things. And if a person is free, then they're truly free. And there's no end of the good that they can do, except the gospel is messy. It's not ordered and structured. You can build a big church and get a lot of money from people using guilt. You can keep people under control by means of guilt. I hate to sound sort of sinister, but my take on it is the whole medieval system, everything that was built, the Roman church was built upon, falls apart when the gospel light is turned on. Now, But when the gospel light is turned on, consciences which are troubled receive comfort. And Christ, and this is most important, is glorified. And so it is not by our works, because it's by Christ. It's not by something that we... it's by grace we have been saved, by gift, by faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul says, where is boasting in Romans? It's excluded. By some law? No! No! We maintain that a man is justified by grace, by faith, apart from the works of the law. So I think the whole medieval system falls apart. But then, when the whole thing falls apart, Christ is magnified, and consciences receive comfort. And that's really what the Lutheran Reformation is all about. It's about comfort for troubled consciences and Christ being glorified. And that's what the doctrine of justification does. It rescues us from ourselves and magnifies Jesus. He alone saves.
If you have a doctrine of justification that allows boasting, then what's wrong?
Well, you're in yourself. I mean, boast all you want, just not before God. I mean, that's just not before God. But rather, boast in Christ and what He did for you. See, who's being glorified? If it's a religion of works, then I'm being glorified because I'm the one that's doing them. If it's a religion of faith, that is grace, receive Jesus alone, atonement, Jesus, vicarious satisfaction, Jesus, blessed exchange, Jesus, propitiation, Jesus. Well, who's receiving all the glory? Jesus. It pleased the Father to send His Son. It gave Him the grin so that we might be saved. When I am lifted up, says Jesus, I will draw all men to myself. That's glory. You want to see the glory of God? Boasting, the boasting of God, there's His Son hanging dead on the cross, answering for our sins, and in that there's no boasting and no glory other than Him.
So, see, I think this is Paul's genius when he writes those famous words in the third chapter of Romans, when he ends by saying, so what becomes of boasting? It's excluded. Not on the law of works, but by the law of faith. It is excluded. It's ruled out of order. I think the genius there is he's basically saying, look, if you've still got something to boast about, then you still have a justification that isn't by grace through faith, but about works. If you find something to boast about at the end of the day, where you can say, well, yeah, God was great, but I also had my part to play, then you still have it wrong.
Correct. He alone, and this is why... this is why the Lutherans are so adamant to not back down from justification by grace, because Christ is robbed of His glory, and His cross becomes nothing, and salvation is lost. It's by Jesus alone, by grace alone, received by faith alone, and all the reason why we're talking about this is because the Scriptures say it. That's it. I mean, and God is glorified in this.
Is that in the end, George, with only about a minute or so here, why we fight against this? At least according to our natural man, we really fight against this idea that it really can be just God declaring us righteous freely without any contribution on our part, because we want so badly to have some part in it, glory for ourselves, to ultimately rob Christ of glory. About a minute here.
Right. It's what we're used to. It's the way the world works, and everything else seems stupid. Nothing is free. Like my grandmother said, you believe that Jesus alone saves you by grace alone, just because you believe he calls you righteous? That's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. That doesn't work. Well, it only works with Jesus. And so whether it's because we want to rob Jesus of His glory, whether we want to insert ourselves, or whether it's because we don't know any other religion other than law, we would cling and push ourselves forward. But Christ and His declaration that we are righteous, and that being by His death on the cross, Received by faith is salvation for all. As many as receive him, he gives the power to become a children of God, children not born of anything, of themselves, but born of God. That's salvation. That's justification. Jesus alone.
Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. He's conference executive for the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. George, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Give me a Go Tigers.
Yeah, Go Tigers.
There you go.
I told you you'd have the giggles all the way till the very end. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Bill Swirla about law and gospel. Spend the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. 24 with him, and that'll take us over from Friday night into Saturday night. After that, we'll talk New Obedience and Good Works, the ministry and office of the keys, the church. That'll be with Dr. John Kleinig, by the way. Then we'll do baptism, Lord's Supper, confession, and absolution for another 6 hours, believe it or not. And we'll round it all off at 1 p.m., from 1 to 3 p.m., tomorrow, Dr. Lawrence White will be with us to round off Issues Etc. 24, talking about Christ's return in judgment. It is by sheer grace. I love that term that Luther uses so often, sheer grace. It's a kind of grace where there's no place for you to stand there. There's no little niche that you can carve out for yourself to say, this is my part in it. It's all Jesus. It's all what he has done. And while that deeply disturbs us in our twisted, sinful minds to think, you mean it really all depends on someone else and not me? None of it depends on me? Not even the smallest bit? What part do I have to play in this? What do I get to contribute? Although that deeply disturbs us, it ought to comfort us. And it does. To know that our assurance and our confidence lies outside ourselves. Our justification is God's declaration. That's outside of me. My salvation in Christ alone, that's outside of me. And it's all given to me freely for Christ's sake. When we come back in 5 minutes, Pastor Bill Swirla and Law and Gospel.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi guys, it's Deborah DeBoer here from Dallas, Texas. In answer to the question about what Issues Etc. means to me, well, let me say that I think you guys are kind of my beacon during the week. You keep me focused on what really matters in this, our temporary home, this veil of tears, if you will. I know that when I grab my iPod to replay your excellent shows, that I will be blessed, enlightened, and encouraged. I pray by God's grace that Issues Etc. will flourish for many more years to come. Blessings, you guys.
Well, thanks for listening in Dallas, Deborah. We appreciate all our listeners, especially you, those of you around the world who are listening right now. It's 11 o'clock here in the heartland of America, Central Time in the evening on Friday, November the 2nd. And wherever you're listening, we're very appreciative of listening to Issues Etc. 24, our live 24-hour broadcast. I believe we're starting Hour 9 with Pastor Bill Swirla here. And you know what that means? We just finished the eighth hour, so it's time every 2 hours. We have a drawing for a book, and we're going to be drawing for Luther's Works, volume 27 on Galatians 5 and 6. And you can get your name in the hopper to be drawn every 2 hours to receive some kind of resource by making a $100 donation or more to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, 618-223-8385. That's the number for our beloved on-demand listeners, or toll-free live, 877-623-6943, 877-623-6943.
Pastor Todd drew the winner out of the hopper here just a few moments ago, and the winner for the book this break is... It's Zach from Belleville, so we'll get that out to you, Zach. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. and IE24.
So we got more IE24 coming your way. Thanks again for sticking with us. And again, it's interactive. We'll be here, so anytime you want to call, Craig and I will personally take your donation over the phone, 877-623-6943 or 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or issuesetc.org. If I do my math correctly, we've got 8 hours down, 20 out of 24 hours, so that is, what, 16 hours left? 16 hours left, is that right, boys?
Yes, 16 hours. So what is that? That's what, how many different topics? Eight more different topics. So we're a third of the way through.
And keep us awake. Craig and I are here, 618-223-8385, 877-623-6943. Please consider supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. during Issues Etc. 24.